Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Thing. I say good morning, Colorado, and the Rocky Mountain Mile High region. What is up? It is Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today on a beautiful Monday, not only because of the weather, not only because we live in the Mile High City, but because Nick Ferguson, we are coming off a Broncos divisional beatdown, not just a win. You and Mike Evans picked a win for the Broncos. You're the only two on the station to do so. But it wasn't just a win, brother. It was a beatdown that was not even as close as the final score indicated.
No, it wasn't as far as the final score indicated. And I was really proud of watching the guys go out there and compete. And that is one of the things that we talked about on the pregame show with the Broncos players and coaches having 2 weeks to kind of reflect on the season up to this particular point. And the way that I related it to was the New Year's resolution.
Okay.
Instead of waiting until December 31st to make that resolution, you use the bye week to make that resolution.
This is their new year.
Well, yes, this is the start of a new year.
They want to know then.
Yes, exactly. And I know it sounds crazy to say, well, here's a new season within a season. But this is where things count. You're looking at the division. Everything is tight. I mean, you've already defeated the Chargers. Now you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, prime time, when your only prime time game was Thursday night. So everything sets up perfect for the Broncos to go on what I thought was a little run, because taking you back just a little bit, when we were on the war room with Stokely and Zach, ironically, you know, we're sitting in for both of them. I said after the bye, And I even went back to the Philadelphia game and said, well, if they were able to win that game and then come off the bye and run off a couple of games, then they could put themselves in a great position. And when we were asked, well, how many of the remaining games could the Broncos actually win? I said, well, I could see them winning four out of seven. And the way that things shaping up, and once again, it's like, okay, but which team are we going to get? I mean, you beat Dallas, you lost to Philly. You came off the bye. It was a convincing win against a division rival. What can you do on Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs? This is an opportunity for, like I told you before yesterday, opportunity for not just the players but the coaching staff to really submit themselves. And if they're able to do it, I know it's been a lot of talk about Fangio. Will he return? Will Pat Shurmur return? If they are able to pull off a victory Sunday night, and then follow that with the win against Detroit and Cincinnati, at this particular point, you have to say, well, did Vic Fangio save his job?
Did he save his job with that performance? And what does this game truly mean? I think people are, in a way, trying to get ahead of themselves. I promised myself yesterday, and I said, my name is Cecil Lamb, and I won't let the Broncos hurt me today. Well, they didn't hurt me. In fact, it was overjoyed because there's actually hope. The Chargers are a good team. They're not a great team. Their defense isn't great. They certainly suck against the run. And Justin Herbert is arguably the best young quarterback in the AFC. And I said AFC, not AFC West. The AFC. He's that good. And he didn't look that good. Not against Vic Fangio's defense, which is playing well because of guys like Baron Browning and Kenny Young and Pat Surtain. We're going to get to all that. But what do you truly take away from this game? Winning two of the last three, three of the last four. The Philadelphia game still hangs around. But what do you take away truly from this game against that opponent in the way that they played?
That the team is starting to believe, and it was kind of the formula that we talked about the very beginning of the season when this defense was created, when Javonte Williams was drafted, when the Broncos moved up, George Payton moved up to grab him. So he's like, okay, well, the team is going to try to establish some form of identity, but something similar to what we see in maybe the AFC North with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Play great defense, run the ball.
Black and blue.
Right. So that was the kind of idea walking in, or that's kind of the perception that I had walking in. But yesterday we saw it come to fruition. When you look at Teddy, you're going to say, well, Teddy didn't really do anything. He didn't really do anything statistically because his numbers didn't jump off the page. Here's what I know as a guy that played this game a long time. You don't have to put up gaudy numbers if you play a complete game. We're talking about offense, defense, and special teams. And yes, I said special teams.
It's hard to believe that we can praise Broncos special teams today, but we can.
Yes, Sam Martin, you know, great punt, pinning the Chargers deep in their territory.
Nate Harrison.
Yes.
Your guy, you were tweeting about him.
Yes. Special teams is just that. It is special.
Special teams has a special place in your heart.
Well, yeah, because that's how I cut my teeth and I coached it. But special teams players are like offensive line, see, so you don't really hear about offensive linemen until they hold.
Okay.
Right? It's that same thing with special teams guys.
Yeah, you don't hear about it unless
they do something wrong.
Yeah, it's a
right?
big play.
There's a block in the back on a big return.
Yeah.
But this is a conversation or win that we have to say for the first time all season long, and in the Cowboys game, we didn't get great special teams play. But for the first time this season, the Broncos played a complete game. So you ask, well, what do we know or what can be learned from this game?
What do we take away from this?
When you play a complete game, this is what the outcome can be. You don't have to throw for 300 yards a game because we've seen quarterbacks throw for 300 yards, two touchdowns, and guess what? The team still loses the game.
You don't have to run for 200 yards a game. I give you the example from yesterday, the Titans. They had two 100-yard rushers, and they got their ass kicked by New England. So it's not about the numbers.
So the moral of the story is it's balance. That's what you need, balance.
Okay, Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, being able to keep the defense off balance, not
yes.
knowing what they're going to do. Like, when I think about the touchdown run, that 11-yard touchdown run by Teddy, I mean, Joey Bosa was thinking, okay, well, this is Teddy Bridgewater. This is not Lamar Jackson.
He's going to run out of bounds.
Yeah, and so I'm going to take a hard inside move. I'm going to be Cam Flemings, and I'm still going to get to him, right? But now what you did, you allowed Teddy to get around the outside. Now, I didn't like the play design from a passing standpoint from Pat Shurmur, but the end result I love because Teddy pulled the ball down and he made something actually happen. This is what you have to do sometimes as a team. You have to, as we would say, overcome coaching. Coaching would have you, hey, just throw it in the dirt, throw it in the back of the end zone, live to fight another day. No. In that opportunity, no one's expecting you to run. No one. And then you run down the field and you touch the pylon. But here's something, Cece, I want to point out interesting about that play. Albert Okwuegbunam helped make that possible because he was running a route, saw Teddy's running, and then he just got in the guy's way.
Right.
He just got in his way.
Somewhere Noah Fant's going, why are you doing that?
He just got in his way. That's all you have to do. You don't have to just drive a guy off the ball. Just get in his way.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. But,
right.
Yeah,
you don't even have to lay hands on him.
No, you don't.
Just get in their way.
Just turn your back to him, and you can put your hands up. Because if he pushes you, he pushes you in the back.
The Chargers had the fourth most missed tackles in the league this year. That was just lazy. Except for Chris. Strap Harris tried, and then he got blocked. He's the only one that tried on that play. Everyone's like, Teddy's going to run out of bounds. And Teddy's like, you think I'm going to run out of bounds? And he didn't. He okey-doked him.
But that's where you do the off-schedule stuff comes in. You do the things that they're not anticipating that you're going to do. And Teddy was able to make a great play and get the Broncos on the board. So the whole idea, man, from that game is what you can do when you start to believe in yourself and you play a complete game. That what we saw on Sunday, it's possible. Now the question is, well, can they do that
on
the road?
Continue. That's the question. What's the answer? Vic Fangio is at the podium coming up in a matter of moments. Maybe he'll have an answer. We'll talk about it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It is Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today. We will get to Vic Fangio at the podium as soon as possible. Vic Fangio, the clip has gone, I don't know, locally viral, mini viral, kind of viral, whatever you want to say, about him and his post-game comments. I heard Mark Schlereth talking about it. I heard Chad kind of remembering his days in the locker room, Nick. Are those moments the special moments, the game ball moments, the times where guys like a Bailey, like a Sertan, like the guys who got the game balls, those kind of special moments shared just with the players in the locker room?
Yeah, those are the moments that you always remember, and you remember them even more when you are the guy receiving the ball, because game balls are not, you know, really given out to everyone. Everyone contributes during the game, but you don't have 53 game balls to give out.
Right.
Now, on game day, they would hand the ball to one particular guy in certain organizations if they feel as though, you know what, this was a quality win for us. We're going to make up a ball for everyone. But that guy who got that ball, that was special, because that was almost like the golden ball or whatever. I remember, you know, in my time playing here with the Broncos, man, the Colts were kind of a thorn in our ass.
Yes,
and
very much so.
Beating Peyton Manning, especially in an RCA Dome, was very tough. And there was a moment where we defeated them in the RCA Dome. And Quinn Griffin, man,
that was his big game.
I mean, he had a game, a ball game.
Wasn't it like 200 yards? I mean, it was something crazy. It was ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember standing there watching, telling Keith Burns, I was like, yo, I don't know if it's just me, but watching him run, it looks eerily familiar. He was like, what are you talking about? I said, he looks like Barry Sanders, like a smaller version of Barry Sanders.
For one game.
For one game.
God bless you, man.
And sometimes that's all you need is that one game. Because if you were to talk to Q now, he would tell you that game actually stuck out. But the biggest part of it, once again, going back to having everyone in the locker room, all the administrative people there, but the game ball is given to one person to have – Mr. Bolin, who typically doesn't really speak a lot in our games as far as after the games, but he was able to give the ball out because Mike normally gives the ball out. So he was just like, okay, well, I'm going to do it this time. And
Mr. B said, give the ball to me.
Yes, Mr. B. I don't think he said, give the ball to me. It was like he extended his hands, and at that point, if you're Mike Shanahan, you give him the damn ball.
Yes.
Right. So now it's like, okay, well, the game ball goes to my homeboy, Q. And once again, think about it, to get the game ball, but once again, to get it from the owner, that's big time.
Well, let's talk to my homeboy, Vic Fangio's press conference right now.
Calvin's going to miss some time. Don't know yet whether it would require a visit to the IR or not, but we'll probably know in the next day or two.
And Dalton?
I think he'll be okay moving forward. You know, he's got a back issue that he's dealing with. We think it'll get better, and I think, you know, optimistic that he'll be able to play.
Any update on Teddy and how he came out of the game?
He came out fine. Vince didn't even mention him. I saw Teddy in here about an hour or so ago, and he was doing better.
And then some of the guys who sat out yesterday, Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey.
Yeah, I think both of them have a chance to play this week. I mean, Garrett hadn't cleared all the protocols yet. And Bobby made some improvement last week, not enough to play last week. But hopefully, you know, we have some hope for him.
Will Bryce Callahan practice on Wednesday?
I don't know that.
What about Kareem
Jackson?
I think Kareem has a good chance to make it.
Just wanted to check Malik Reed because he went to the tent late in the game.
Yeah, Vince didn't even bring him up.
Okay. Shelby with his ankle or whatever?
Yeah, Vince didn't give me an update on him yet.
You know, we're spending all this time talking about injuries. You guys have been kind of dinged by them as much this year as you were a year ago.
Yeah, even more so this year.
Okay. So, but what has been the difference in terms of being able to withstand those more than you did a year ago? What do you credit that to?
We have a better team. You know, we have more depth, better players. That's what makes you withstand things, you know, negative stuff, in this case, injuries.
Rick, one thing you mentioned about the defense when you've had to plug guys in, you've had to pare down your calls. Did Pat have to do that yesterday with the O-line? Is that how it works on offense?
No, I don't think as much. You know, you have to be concerned when you have backups in there in the O-line. You know, and there's different degrees of backups. And, you know, with who they have to block, and maybe you have to give them help.
If Garrett's not able to go, would Quinn Bailey start at left tackle, and what gives you confidence in him?
Well, that all depends upon Bowles' situation, Massey's situation. You know, if those two guys play, or one of them, then we still have Fleming available. So
you have pressure with four guys a lot yesterday. If you're able to do that consistently, how much does that help the rest of the defense?
Oh, it does. I mean, any time you can get pressure with four-man rush, it's always better. You know, you get more variety in your coverages that you can, you know, play. There's more variety in coverage when you're rushing four than, say, when you're rushing five or more.
What do you think your guys learned from after the great game at Dallas and then obviously the struggle against Philly that you can apply to this week, a terrific home win now going to KC? What can you learn from that, given how that, you know, the inconsistency of the play of those 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to come out and play good. And obviously with who we're playing this week, they know that. I didn't get to see the Chiefs earlier in the season when they had some struggles, but they're back to being the Chiefs again. And that's like you guys always ask me, in May, when the schedule comes out, you make these, this, that, and the other. And the answer I give every year, it depends when you play them, how they're playing. You know, who are they missing? Who are you missing? What kind of stretch are they going through? You know, so they're back to being themselves now.
What gives you confidence that this team can break the losing streak that they've had against the Chiefs for so many years?
Well, we're better than the recent Broncos teams, even the ones before I got here, since the 2014 or 15, whenever it was. You know, we got a better team.
Andy Reid's been really good after a bye his teams. 19-3, what do you attribute that, or?
I think you'd find some similar records for when they were playing without a bye. You know, they've won a ton of games in Kansas City since he's been there, in particular since Mahomes has been the quarterback. And in Philly, you know, they had good teams there with McNabb, and they had a hell of a defense there for a long time with Jim Johnson. And they were winning games no matter what, the bye week or no bye week. And and that's still the case.
How did Chubb look in his 30 snaps yesterday?
I thought he did good. You know, obviously for him to play for the first time, I really don't even count the plays, the handful of plays he got against Jacksonville as plays for this year. You know, so basically he played for the first time in my mind since our 14th game last year. And, you know, he was rusty. That's what he told me. But it was great to get out there, knock off a good bit of that rust, and hopefully he'll make a big strides this week.
Javonte's touchdown run, third and goal from the 9. Did they show that look on tape to have Pat make that call?
Yeah, it was a hell of a call there by Pat. You know, they happened to be in a defense that was conducive, that gave us a chance on that. We liked it kind of no matter what the look was, and worked out good, but it was a hell of a call by Pat and great execution by the players.
You talked a lot about getting off to a faster start on offense. Yesterday, you guys were able to do that. What was the difference this week and how you replicated?
We got some first downs in that first drive, you know, and I know that really doesn't answer your question, but we got some first downs. You know, we converted a third down in there. We had a really good day on third down, which allows you to keep. You get a new set of downs, get have another run in there, get a play pass in there. You know, we didn't end up finishing it with points, but it set, you know, set up the punt that we downed at the 1, and we went 3 and out after that punt, and we got the ball right back at midfield and got our first points. And so it all plays together there.
Nick, I wanted to ask you about the punt. How just kind of big of a play was that early in the game? And it seems like Sam has kind of quietly, you know, made some pretty big strides from last year.
Yeah, it was obviously a big play. But if we don't go 3 and out, it gets negated somewhat. you know, it's important for us to make them punt there, not get a first down. And it resulted in us getting good field position back, and we scored on it. But Sam's done a good job on the short field punts all year. I don't know where he ranks, but he's got to be up there pretty high.
Drew Locke on the art of coming off the bench, quarterback is struggling his two games. Anything you can do or talk to him or something that you see where he should be able to do a better job?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different for a guy who's never come off the bench. You know, and in Drew's case, you know, we're probably not giving him enough reps during the week, you know, not to make an excuse for him. You know, but he's got to learn to do better at that. And maybe some of that is we need to have a better list of what he feels comfortable at operating with and running and calling. And hopefully he's learned from these two times. Hopefully there won't be another time due to injury, and he'll do better the next time.
Will he remain the number two this week?
Yes.
Kenny Young, when he got traded here, it's kind of a shock for him. How have you seen him buy in here?
Yeah, he's bought in from the first day I've met him since he got here. I mean, I'm sure he was disappointed to a degree, just to upset your daily lifestyle. You know, you got to move this and that. I know he has dogs, and he didn't even bring the dog with him, so he's feeling lonely. And but he's been good since he got here, trying to buy in and trying to do good.
How much energy has he brought to
the Good. You know, he's a very energetic guy. He plays hard, plays fast, likes football, likes contact, and he's been a really good addition.
You've seen your guys respond after tough losses, like on Sunday. But you've been consistently inconsistent after nice wins like this Sunday, too. Do you think you've kind of turned that corner? What do you have to do to maybe turn that corner psychologically with these guys?
Well, we hope so. I mean, we did win three in a row earlier in the season, then won two in a row at another spot. You know, so I don't know if there's a lot of validity there.
How did Bailey play?
He did a nice job, you know, for, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's on the practice squad, dressed, you know, basically as the eighth lineman, you know, but seventh or eighth, you know, depending on, you know, Schlottman can't play tackle, so, and all of a sudden he's in there for a good bit of the game, and went to the right guys. I don't think made any mental mistakes. Did a good job blocking. And really feel happy for him. This is a guy that's been here now for 2 years. Real quiet guy, but takes his job serious. I think Mike and Coop have done a good job developing him. Mike's liked him from the start. Feels he has a future that he can develop.
Vic Saubert, a few more for the coach.
Saubert said it went through his head for a split second that he may have to play tackle if injuries kept mounting up. Was it a discussion at all with you and any of the line coaches?
No. What was a discussion with me in my own head and then with the offensive coaches when Teddy was out, you know, that if Drew got hurt.
Yeah, what was the option there? Kendall again?
Hey, Vic, the video was out there last night in the post game. Why were the other players so excited for you to give Bailey a game ball? They seem really to react.
Because he's a great guy, and all he does is come in here and work every day, give a good look on the scout team, works hard to improve himself, and he's a good guy. And people like to see good guys experience good things.
You're a football lifer, Vic. Even do you get a little extra juice? You're playing for first place at Arrowhead, rivalry game. You're pretty level with us all the time, but is there fire burning for a game like this for you?
You know, I treat them all the same. They're all huge to me, you know. Obviously, playing a team that is talented as they are, that's done what they've done the last 3-4 years with all the games they've won, it's a huge challenge. And one that we'll accept and try and go up there and get a W. But every NFL game is a game that I cherish.
Does playing on primetime make that, maybe not for you, but make it bigger for the players?
I think so. It doesn't for me, but it does for them. That's pretty. It used to be back in the day, Monday night. You know, you never had to worry about your guys getting ready emotionally for a Monday night game. That was the prime time, big deal. Sunday night has kind of taken that over, and Monday night is kind of second place to that. So Yeah, there's no doubt for the players, it is a big thing.
Since Jerry came back from his injury, you've used him in motion a lot more.
Yeah.
Do you see that creating room for him?
Yeah, and it's, you know, we've done it together with our run and pass game. So mixing those together and marrying the run and pass game together with that has been a help for us.
I don't know how much you think about this, but with as well as Pat Surtain has played, do you think he deserves to be in that conversation for Rookie of the Year?
No doubt. No doubt about that.
What about his game?
He played really well yesterday. Obviously, the two interceptions, everybody knows about it, but he's broke up some passes, too, that were critical. You know, they don't quite get the same pizzazz that the picks do, but they're just as critical. And he's been playing good football for us all year. We're thrilled to have him. I don't want to speak for George, but I think I am. I mean, if we had to redo the draft right now and it was the same players available at number 9, it'd be the same pick.
Last one, Kyle.
Munchak's Hall of Fame credentials are brought up consistently. What have you seen from him specifically this year with all the shuffling online to kind of keep that unit together?
Yeah, Mike does a great job, and I think part of it that he's been able to do that, besides his really good coaching along with Coop, is we have better quality backups. You know, Meinert is a good player. Moody's a good player. Calvin's a good player. You know, so we've had better backups to deal with these injuries that we've had to deal with, and that helps. But there's no doubt that the great job that Mike and Coop do has really helped.
Thank you very much,
Coach. All right, thanks, Coach. See you Wednesday. That's Coach Vic Fangio with the Denver media. Lots to react to, including him throwing Drew Locke under the bus, John Elway under the bus, and avoiding the fact that they had a 4-game losing streak. This is Vic Fangio. We react to his press conference next on The Fan.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach. And Nick, I see you feverishly writing with your tiny handwriting. Vic Fangio's press conference, where he basically, I don't want to make excuses for Drew Locke, but he's got to be better. Where he said they have much better talent now. I think he said that 3 times. 3 times! We have much better talent now. John Elway.
Well, technically,
he didn't mention John by name.
No, he didn't mention John by name. I think you were trying to read between the lines.
What do you read between the lines when he says that?
Well, I just felt instead of saying that he was taking a shot at John Elway, the way I look at it, being the optimistic person I am,
right,
he was just giving praise to George Payton.
Right. We all should give praise to George Payton, but he also was kind of, because he was asked about what's the difference from last year to this year. Well, what's that difference? John Elway's not picking the players.
Well, that's not what he said, Cecil. He said it was due to depth and having quality players.
And having better players.
Having better players. Now.
How do you get better players?
From straws, and there's 2 ways that we can take when we look at this.
Right.
I'm going to take the other way, right?
He's praising George Payton.
He's praising George.
He is.
But but you're going to take the other approach.
Because he's doing both.
Right. At the same time.
Because he's doing both. Now, I want to know, because I can't read your writing. I have, like, super eyes because I have LASIK, but I can't read your tiny writing.
Super eyes.
Super eyes.
Well, when did they invent those?
I don't know, but I have them. I can't read your tiny writing. So what was most significant to you during Vic Fangio's press conference?
Well, the one thing that really stood out to me was, he said a lot of things, but talking about Pat Surtain, when he was asked a question, and he said, you know, with his frame of mind and George, if they had to do it all over again, with everything that they know up until this point, they would do the same thing. And now that means he's talking Justin Fields, Mac Jones,
right,
Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. He would decide to do the same thing over and over again. And
even Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and we were beating this drum. Like, when we had Pat Surtain's dad on our program, the Nick and Cecil Show, you find us every night from 6 to 9 p.m., that's what we talked about. It was the idea of having his dad on and say, well, how crazy would this be if come draft day, the Broncos select your son? And he was all giddy about that idea, and I was so happy about it because I was thinking about Chad Bailey. When Mike Shanahan made that trade, and at the time it was a blockbuster trade because Clint Portis was playing out of his mind at that time.
Back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons.
That's right. And it's like, well, who would actually do that? And knowing as though with our ground game, how important it was, and it was important with Clinton involved, that he went out and he traded with Washington football team for Champ Bailey. And after seeing Champ work, seeing his work ethic in practice, seeing it in the game and how it affected us in our back end, I said, if you're able to get a guy like that, not just a guy, I mean, you're getting the guy.
Well, Pat Surtain is not just a guy. He's that dude.
Yes, he is. And I know corners come out every year. D-Mac and I had a conversation about this when I joined the drive about a week and a half ago.
I know. You were cheating on it.
Well, it's not technically cheating.
if you were asked to. Well,
if you know about it, it's not cheating.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's only if you don't know, then it is cheating.
Well, I didn't know until I turned on the drive. I was like.
And then you found out.
Then I found out. So it's not Nick
cheating.
Ferguson.
Yes, so it's not cheating. So we had this conversation, and I was telling D-Mac, I said, well, when it comes to corners, right, it's the same way he feels about quarterbacks. You got to take your guy, a guy that's going to change things for you. And I know right now, because everyone's falling in love with quarterbacks, that's the way you want to go. But it's all about neutralizing quarterbacks. And what did we see yesterday? Justin Herbert, you brought it up on Sunday's show. Well, are we going to have quarterback envy watching Justin Herbert?
Yes.
And I say, well,
first
no.
First thing I asked you.
That ship had sailed. The idea is like, well, how do we neutralize those top quarterbacks? You do it with defense, and what Vic Fangio showed collectively as a defense, that is the way that you do it.
You do it without the blitz, and you do it with Adam Archuleta getting surprised that he's running. He's in the zone. Vic Fangio's doing this on. I even tweeted about it, which I rarely do that, but I was like, someone needs to tell Adam Archuleta when he does. First off, he loves Colorado and all that Colorado brings to the table. Let's just say that. That's what you believe. Yeah, I've been around enough stoners. So anyway, I
legal weed.
Somebody needs to tell him, like, Vic Fangio runs his zone defense. That's like, because Archuleta was like, I can't believe it. He's using the zone. Yeah, man. Like,
that's the basis of
thing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I'm not making any friends with Adam Archuleta.
Well, no, you're not. I think by this point, Sisu, we know it's always insert foot here, right?
Yeah, he'll be all right.
So it's that type of thing. But yes, but what Vic Fangio has done, understanding what has made him a great head coach, a defensive minded coach, I'll start there first, is being able to craft the defense. But you need that. You need to have corners that can hold up. You need to have fast linebackers,
right,
and guys who can hum off the edge. And now, based on what we saw, go back to the Dallas game, go back to what we saw yesterday. We didn't get it in the Philly game because Weatherly didn't play. I mean, he played, but he didn't play with Jonathan Cooper.
There's also a spot that we got so much to get to. It's the middle of the defense.
Yes.
Vic Fangio's defenses are historically known for the middle of the defense. And when you have guys like Kenny Young and Baron Browning healthy, you can make plays. So tons to get to with Vic Fangio's press conference. I gotta make fun of BK for not making any friends out there. Hey, you're gonna put in Kendall Hinton? Like, that joke was not well received, BK.
Well, where's the Kawhi Leonard laugh when you need it?
Hey, we gotta talk to him. Look at Richie. All over it. All right. It is Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach. Are the Chiefs back to being the Chiefs? Plus more Vic Fangio press conference reaction next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It is Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today, and Vic Fangio's press conference you just heard sounded like he was in a pretty good mood. He should be. Denver is feeling great because the Broncos are playing relevant football in December. It's not yet December. It's close enough. But either way, this is George Payton's vision, right? A whole new world. Forget Aladdin. You've got George Payton. He'll make your dreams come true, right? That's what I think. That's what you think. But Vic Fangio also thinks this game against the Chiefs is pretty big because it is. Why? He said it himself. The Chiefs are back to being the Chiefs. Nick, do you believe that?
I surely do. Just watching the last couple of games that they've played, it's like they decided to go back and watch the film and Andy Reid say, well, we're not really being ourselves. I'm not trying to change you, Patrick Mahomes. Still go out there and just kind of sidearm balls or just have that improvisation that's made him so popular. But for them, they had to get better on the defensive side of the ball. That's where the issues were. And they made one subtle move that changed everything for them. You know what that move was?
What was the move?
It was moving Chris Jones from like an outside leverage to interior. That's where he dominates the most because he can clog up the gaps, put pressure on the quarterback because it's a quicker distance from A
to
B.
He's like the Tasmanian devil if the Tasmanian devil was a giant.
That's right. So trying to put him out on the edge, he doesn't really have that get off, and you got to work a little harder. But it's easier, or the action happens faster when you're an interior lineman, D lineman playing maybe nose or shade or three technique, the outside shade of a tackle. You can get from point A to point B right now. Because as soon as the ball is snapped, boom, you engage with the guard. So that's why he's able to do most of his damage. But we're not there yet, but since we're bringing up the Chiefs, we might as well talk about it. The Broncos excelled yesterday running the ball. Chris Jones is in the middle to disrupt that. Now you have to ask yourself, getting a little ahead of it. We'll still break it down later on in the week. If you're Pat Shurmur, knowing that they made that change and that's helped them out defensively, now are you going to call more outside zone plays, plays getting outside? Like the Broncos tried to run somewhat of a toss play yesterday, and the Chargers blew it up because Calvin Anderson, he was responsible for getting out. Tim Patrick did a great job grabbing Bosa, holding him up. Now, all Calvin Anderson had to do was blow the safety off the ball, but he didn't. Then it was a tackle for a loss. So now you got to say, well, if you're Pat Shurmur, what is your plan of attack against Kansas City, who's changed their defense by moving one piece?
And who's coming off of a bye?
Kansas City.
You said it yourself. You said, hey, the Broncos in a bye. This is going to be big for them. It's going to be good. Refresh, recharge. You and Mike Evans, and I have no idea why Mike Evans picked the Broncos. You and Mike Evans are the only guys on the station to pick Denver. Now, others might pat their arms, break their arm, pat themselves on the back, say, I picked the Broncos. No one else did. Yeah, nobody cares. But the bye week, it did what you said come to fruition. So I ask you, Nick Ferguson, what about Kansas City coming off a bye?
Well, Kansas City, they're going to look to scorch the earth. Right, because everyone kind of counted them out after they were going through that somewhat of a losing streak.
And it's not like they've beaten up. They beat up on some slappies. They did beat the Giants, but their last four games, Giants, Packers.
No Aaron Rodgers now. You got to mention. No Rodgers.
No Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Raiders, and then the Cowboys. We them boys. I guess we them island boys? Richie, please don't tell me you have island boys, like, queued up somewhere. You don't? Okay, thank God. But, like, instead of we them boys, I think we them island boys now.
What kind of island boys, man? What kind of boys you're talking
the
about?
The god-awful ones that are going viral on TikTok or whatever. Richie, get the dumb button ready, because
I'm an island boy, and I've been trying to make. Oh, I'm an island boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Bullet shot.
Yeah, there you go. So the Chiefs, they might think, well, what the Broncos are doing, hey, that's cute. That's cute. Hey, you beat up on the Chargers, who regularly choke. That's cute. I think the Broncos have to be ready for the full-on Chiefs.
Well, hold on, Cecil, now. Don't say that the Chargers regularly choke. Now,
they do choke, though.
Usually their defense down a stretch has been known to kind of, you know, squander leads. We know that. But, once again, let's look at this game against the Chargers with full vision and perspective. I mean, the Broncos handled their business from beginning whistle to the end of the clock. So when the Chiefs look at this, they're going to say, well, there's something different about the Broncos now. Because the Chargers usually do a couple of things well. You have Keenan Allen. You have Jared Cook. Right? You have Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, and Herbert, who can run the ball. The Broncos did an effective job taking those things away. So this is not a Broncos team of old that we can just say, well, hey, we had a great bye week. We add some new sprinkles, not wrinkles,
sprinkles
to our offensive scheme. Now we're just going to walk in and run right over them.
During the bye week for the Broncos, did they do a little preparation for the Chiefs?
Absolutely.
Is that common?
Well, see, they started preparations for the Chiefs, even though Big Fan just said, well, I hadn't watched the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think he's lying.
Well, the
not
whole
telling
idea.
Telling the truth.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
How do
because
I soften that?
There's
that
no
doesn't
way.
Soften it.
No, there's no way.
Oh, well, then Vic Fangio was lying. He's watched the Chiefs.
Well, he wasn't as forthcoming with the truth. See, you call it lying, right? I call it a half-truth. A half-truth.
Okay.
Yes.
It might have been half of the half, Eddie, but yes somewhere
but the,
in there.
But the idea is that because you know, like, you didn't know that the NFL was going to flex the schedule. You're going to play on Sunday. You still knew that you were going to play the Chiefs.
Right.
So the idea is that your coaches start preparation maybe 2 weeks prior. So once they get to that week, it makes their job that much easier. Right. When I worked for the 49ers, that was part of what I had to do. You don't just work on that week's opponent. You start to look ahead. Like if you had a Thursday night football game and you just try to wait to that Thursday to catch up on your work, I mean, you're going to be underwater. So you have to start adding some time throughout the course of the season. Okay, well, let's look at the third down package. Let's look at the red zone package. Start putting some things together. So the whole idea that, we didn't really work a lot on Kansas City, not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Not true. It is Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today. And did Teddy Bridgewater... Did he trade in the Shaggin' Wagon for the old Coleman bike? And did he totally redeem himself for him toughing it out against the Chargers? I think Nick and I actually might disagree on this one. We'll talk about it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.